Hey guys, this is Father Deacon Maverick, and this is the Ecumenist Tank. The Ecumenist Tank hasn't been that active, and I have been trying to do everything that I need to do. The last 3 weeks, I mean, you guys know about the fact that I was sick, and just wasn't at home. And when I'm not at home, it's kind of hard to navigate how I'm going to do this stuff. I can't do it in a coffee shop or anything like that because in Korea that's kind of not something that you ever do. But then again, I don't even know of anyone who does do that kind of records in coffee shops and stuff. And because I'm spending time with people, I'm spending time with people, and people are precious. And I also try to go to church on Sundays, and when I do go to church on Sundays, that means that I'm usually not gonna get time to do all of the things that I need to do, but I do try to get out to it when I can. I'm gonna be doing the readings for Trinity XVI, Trinity, the 16th Sunday after Trinity. I've been doing a lot of things lately. I've been working, I've been trying to read, and I've been studying Korean now. The Korean is coming on slowly, but I'm making progress. I have a friend who actually knows Korean very well, even though he's in Japan, and he's just been trying to help me out with this. He's kind of also doing the current curriculum that we have going. And then hopefully when I'm done with that and stuff, I'll have a better grasp of the Korean language in general. But just trying to finish a book. I finished a few books before, but they've been pretty elementary, and I haven't been, equipped enough as I think I should be. So I've been also like updating my playlists for the colder seasons. Autumn and winter's coming up, and man, I can't believe that entire year's passed by. And I've been thinking about when I can visit South Africa to visit my family and stuff. Money's tight and all of those things, so that's kind of the one of the few things that's keeping me from visiting home and stuff. But we trust by God's grace that that'll be dealt with soon. I've been looking at my fashion and stuff, and when I was getting things to wear and buying stuff, I've been working on my battle jacket. For those of you who don't know, I like heavy metal music, and I really wanted to do a get a battle jacket again. I have wanted to do this back when I was in South Africa, like a couple of years back when I was in high school, but back then I didn't have money because I was a high schooler. And when I was in seminary, wanted to do it, but again, as a seminarian, I didn't have money. And I mean, seminary was tough for me. I mean, some other discouraging things have happened. I don't want to get into it. Spoken to a couple of people about just what's going on in their lives, and I'll say this again. And I've seen this happening in some of the Protestant churches that I've moved. And I've also seen it in the Orthodox Church. I haven't seen it so much in the Roman Catholic Church. But then again, I don't know enough. I haven't spent enough time in the Roman Catholic Church to really see it. But from the times that I've been in the Roman Catholic Church and I've communed there, because I was allowed to commune, in my season where I was attending the Roman Catholic Church, when I did attend Roman Catholic Church, that didn't seem to be the case. It seemed like the priests that were there were focused. But then again, when you have a celibate priest, I think priests probably have more time to get out to it. But been seeing a lot of people falling away from the faith. And my question, when I see that kind of thing happening, it's not that I have any animosity towards the people that are experiencing it. I clearly don't. In fact, I understand how they're feeling and stuff, but I have questions for the people who are pastoring them. I have questions for the people who are really walking this road. And so I'm speaking about not just theology, but being there, the the practice of actually being with people. Because I think in my own relationships and stuff, one of the problems I've had is not really connecting with people, even my close relationships and stuff. And then it's so important for me just to be there with that person, to focus on them, to speak to them. Because, I mean, sometimes I can be a bit socially awkward, speaking over people and stuff. And that's something that, yeah, I pray that I'll do better with and stuff. And now that we are busy with the Korean Thanksgiving and stuff, I've taken the time to pray more, to meditate more, to speak to God, to tell God, God, this is where I'm at. And sometimes it feels like when you get busy, you get distracted by your own passions. And, you know, that's why I went to confession. You know, you get distracted by so many of your own problems, your own insecurities, your own fears. And then you are unable to effectively minister to the people around you. And this is such an important concept, I think, for Christians. Christians are supposed to be continually praying, continually ministering, continually sharing our love, you know, with the people around us. And by sharing our love, I mean being there for them, being a friend to them, trying to support them. And yeah, that's just some of the things that I've been thinking about. But yeah, fashion, I've been thinking about that. So been creating my battle vest and stuff. And actually, one of the patches that was supposed to get here, apparently there was some problem with the post office. But, you know, I kind of get annoyed about things like that. But then again, I'm trying not to stress and to get annoyed, because I realize that when you stress about certain things, you actually make room for anger and resentment. And then you get like, and this is a real issue I see in my own Christianity. I don't know why I'm so sometimes just annoyed and kind of just like iffy and stuff. And I, yeah, it's something that I'm trying to work on, trying to be there for people, trying to suppress the negative parts of my character and trying to replace it with good habits, good things. And one of the things that I've been doing, I think I mentioned this before, was taking morning jogs and stuff and just trying to sort myself up and dealing with who I am as a person. So the readings today are Ephesians 3, verse 13 to 21. And the gospel reading is Luke 7, verse 11 to 16. So if you want to follow along, you can do so. I think this is from the NASB. I'm going to read it, make some comments on it. I'm going to read the gospel, make some comments on it, and then hopefully speak about some other things. Yeah, but if the time's too much, I might not do that, so let's just go with it. Ephesians 3, verse 13 to 21. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, usually when I read passages like, you know, this particular passage and stuff, I think about it and I pray about it, read through it a couple of times. And then I ask, what does this actually mean? Because there's a part in which, you know, I was listening to a Reformed Baptist preacher. I think he's a Reformed Baptist, Stephen Lawson. And he said, what does this verse mean to you? And he was trying to criticize this Bible study thing that Christians do in Bible study sometimes when they ask others what they think of a particular passage. And he said, who cares what you think? And I think that's such a dismissive and flippant way of thinking about the Bible. In order for us to really engage the Bible, yes, it is true that we should be engaging with commentaries, what the church fathers have said, what contemporary theologians have said, how they have meditated on the text. But to try and say that there's this objective, I mean, obviously, the church points us towards an objective kind of right and wrong and what is a good and not a good interpretation. But to expect that it doesn't matter what you think about a verse, I think is pastorally misleading. It is very important that we reflect on the Bible and how it shapes our lives. And what it means to you is a very, very real part, I think, of coming to terms with what the scripture is saying and how we can appropriate, how we can practice what the Bible says, how we can live out what the Bible says, and how we can examine ourselves. Because a large part, I think, of anything that we do as Christians is to examine ourselves. Am I doing this and stuff? And obviously, the Bible is not just there for us to examine ourselves and for us to examine the Bible, but there's also a part of it where we just trying to experience God in this passage. And so it starts by saying in verse 13, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Now, I didn't actually focus on that verse, but let me see what Katina gives us. So I use Katina because it gives you kind of like the fathers and it doesn't cost anything. Really good resource. So I'm just going to pull out Ephesians 3, verse 13. So I'm going to tell you what John Chrysostom says about this. I think he probably has something good to say. How is it for them? How is it their glory? Yeah, what does Paul mean by this when he says that his sufferings is their glory? It is because God so loved them as to give them even the Son for them and to afflict his servants for them. For it was in order that they may attain so many blessings that Paul was in prison. Surely this was God's exceeding love towards them. It is what God also says concerning the prophets. I have slayed them by the words of my mouth. Hosea 6 verse 5. But how was it that they fainted when another was afflicted? He means they were troubled, were distressed. This also, he says, when writing to the Thessalonians, that no man moved by these afflictions, that no man be moved by these afflictions. 1 Thessalonians 3:3, for not only ought we not to grieve, but we ought even to rejoice. For if you find consolation in the forewarning, we tell you beforehand that we have that year we have tribulation. But why? Because thus has the Lord ordered. So there's sort of like a lot going on there, but I think there's a sense in which the sufferings that we experience, we could be. So one way I can think of it is that the sufferings that Paul is enduring is for the encouragement, in the sense that Paul is withstanding for the truth that he knows in Christ Jesus. And then there's a part of what Paul is doing, you know, as being part of the body of Christ, as bearing in his body the death of Jesus Christ, right? Bearing the sufferings of Christ. And we, as Christians, we bear the sufferings of Christ for the benefit of each other. And I think this goes into the concept of how we, as the body of Christ, as the household of God, don't experience sufferings in isolation to each other. But that's something, you know, you guys have heard what Saint John Chrysostom says. And then he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And it refers obviously to all creation, every family and class, as the Study Bible says. In the ancient Near East, naming something amounted to bringing it into existence, giving it identity, and exercising authority over it. Since all creation derives its name from the Father, he is both its source and its ruler. Now, this is also a part, I think, where we can think of it as, you know, the Trinity. In the Trinity, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father is not the Father only when he created the world, right? The Father is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the begotten, the eternally begotten Word, the eternally begotten Son. And so he was eternally the Son, and the Father was eternally the Father. And so this Father-Son relationship is a timeless relationship, and it's the foundation of creation. And so what Paul is saying here is very, very Trinitarian. Because can you have God the Father in a non-Trinitarian theology? I don't think you can. Because if the creatures come into existence at a point in time, you have a father, that function of fatherhood only starts at a point in time. I got this from the Eerdmans Bible, I'm just reading it. It says, from Muddiman, in biblical thought, fatherhood connotes both devoted care for one's children, Psalm 103:13, and the right to expect obedience from them, 2 Samuel 7:14. Thus, the use of the metaphor of bowing the knees in prayer before superior being to express the urgency of request is not inconsistent with the thought of the privilege and confident access that Paul has to God with all believers. At the same time, the designation of God as Father is related to the picture of the church as a household. Every family takes its name from God the Father. This does not imply that God is the Father of all people as Creator. The sense may be that God is the Father of every Christian household church. So this is kind of interesting and stuff, and this is what the Eerdmans Bible says. But what I kind of get from this particular passage is that everything that is named in the world, every family is a family because this is the order of the Trinity, right? The concept of fatherhood is something that starts with the fatherhood of God in the Holy Trinity. So this is that's what I think this verse is saying. And so this does not imply that God is the Father of all people as Creator. Now, I'm actually curious now because honestly, what the fathers say. So let's just get to that. The Father of whom every. Okay, so Jerome says, we were not of Abraham's race or called Abraham's children if we possess his faith. Similarly, I think the angels and other visible powers have something like princes of their own in heaven whom they rejoice to call fathers. Our term fatherhood may now be used in light of the awareness that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the only begotten Son is so not by adoption but by nature. It is by adoption that creatures are also allowed to participate in fathering and hence are given the name of fathers. And remember, whatever we say of the Father and Son, we also say of the Holy Spirit. So John Chrysostom says, from whom every family, that is no longer, he means, reckoned according to the number of the angels, but according to him who has created the tribes, both in heaven above and in earth beneath. Yeah, that's what he says. So, yeah. Hippolytus of Rome says, for that in the head, the substance is the formative brain from which the family is fashioned. For to this effect, John also has, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Would really like to do, spend more time in this text, but I'm going to continue. That he may strengthen you with the power through his spirit in your inner being. So this is God strengthening us by his power through the spirit. So there's this distinction that the spirit is not just the power of God in some generic sense, but the Holy Spirit is actually the purveyor, the giver of the power of God. The spirit tunes us into the power of God. And so the spirit is seen as a separate person, as a hypostasis, which is probably a better word, which means the spirit is not just essence of some kind. The spirit is a subsistence, a foci. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but yeah. So what does it mean to be strengthened by God? Strengthened for what? I think it's to fight your passions and temptations, to fight the roots of darkness and corruption, because we don't fight against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. So whatever God is strengthening us for, God isn't strengthening us to be fighters. And I think this is a very common sense interpretation. But that we would persevere in our Christianity, because doing, I was actually listening to a interview with Nurgle, the guy who heads up the extreme metal band Behemoth, or whatever you want to pronounce it as, extreme metal band that has openly occultic lyrics and stuff, talented musicians, but I mean, he's an ideological Satanist or occultist. The term Satanist is quite ambiguous, because so many people mean different things by it. But he holds Satanism because he believes he believes that Satan is this figure of rebellion and liberation, and whatnot. And as Christians, we are not people who submit to the fleshly passions, as to where people who have Satanism as their philosophy, or as this kind of secular philosophy, they believe, well, I can do whatever I want to. If I have the urge as a human being, I am going to appease my instincts. And as Christians, we're not called to live by our flesh, by our carnal desires. We are called to deny our carnal desires. And so there's an ascetic part of it. And so we're not saying that our fleshly existence is, meaningless, but rather that we are supposed to command our spirit, our spiritual selves. We are spiritual beings, and so we are to command our bodies and subject it to the foot of the cross. We are not to give in to all of our passions, to all of the lusts of our flesh. And so there's another Christian, a band, A Hill to Die Upon, and the members are Christians, and they speak about, in one of the songs, they speak about how Satan views himself. He says, "I am," which is actually a poem from C.S. Lewis. He says, "I am nature, the mighty mother. I am the law, ye have none other. But in the Satan says, I am the lust in your itching flesh." And so the lust in our itching flesh, we have various passions, but to be addicted to certain things, to feel disordered, to allow chaos to reign in our body, is not the thing that we should be striving to do as Christians. We shouldn't be striving to do anything which appeases us in our flesh, but instead that Christ may dwell in our heart by faith. And so it's very interesting that the Greek word here is katoikio, carries the sense of residing permanently. That isn't actually in Greek characters, but I'm just going to read it that way. And so what is so interesting about this is that it uses the word which carries the sense of residing permanently. So Christ may permanently dwell, not in a secondary sense, but in the sense that Christ's spirit, Christ may dwell in us permanently as beings. And so in your heart means the center of your being. And so Christ wants to reside in us permanently as a home. And it's very interesting because that reminded me of Colossians 2:9. Colossians 2:9 speaks of the same dwelling, for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. This means that just as Christ is truly united to human nature, Jesus will always be the God-man. When he as God in nature became a man, this means that he has united to himself not just a human nature, but he has united himself to humanity at large, to the church. He will permanently be with his church. And so it's not a faint thing. It's not like the Spirit of God just came that Jesus Christ dwells in us by the Spirit of God for a limited time and then he moves away. But it's that Christ is continually trying to empower us to live as Christians. And then it's important that we understand that this is by faith, not feeling. It's by our participation, by our trust, by our faithfulness, by our allegiance. It's not by the way we feel. And this is such a important thing for me to stress. Some people, they fall away from Christianity, I think, because they have the sense that it feels like I don't believe. But I know that things may feel that way. It feels like I don't believe in God. It feels like God doesn't love me. Feeling is not an objective standard. We're supposed to be looking to Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be looking, and this is why it's so important for me when I wear, why I have a cross up. Because when I look at the cross, when I look at icons, I can see God's faithfulness being the thing that I should be focusing on. And so my faith, my trust is anchored in the objective faithfulness of God. And I know that God is good, and so I can trust it. We are to be rooted and established in love, right? And this is a question I have for myself. Am I rooted and established in love? Are the things that I am doing motivated by my love for God and my love for people? If it isn't, we are actually missing the mark. We are sinning. And so we may have power. It goes on. So that we may have power. I just want to see the right... So I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. So this is again something. We know the love of God. We know the love of God by an experience we have in baptism, in the Eucharist, and these are things that God gives us his grace in, and we know the love of God because we experience it, and we cannot exhaust the love of God. But this is something of a mystical thing, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And this is why we pray. This is why we take time to embrace. There are times when I take, you know, before I did this, I actually took my rosary because I was feeling burdened by my anxieties, by my own innumerable shortcomings and the fact that I wasn't feeling God's love. And so it is important for me to focus on what God has done in the cross, to know that in the sacraments, in the reading of God's word, in the looking on of icons and the various tools that God has given us, I can be confident in what God has done for me in the cross, in the person of Jesus. And isn't that wonderful? Now to him who can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We know that God is at work in us because God is firstly the Father of all. God is the foundation, the love, the foundation of all that exists. And so we can be sure that because of baptism and the various sacraments, through the reading of God's word, we can be sure that he is at work in us. To him be the glory in the church. So we glorify him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. And it's very important to see Jesus Christ not only as the historical person in the Gospels, that is the important part, not only as someone out there, but as someone that we can have communion with through the people that we live with, because that's what God is doing with us, right? Our brother and sisters are part of the body of Christ. And so the beauty of Jesus is to be seen in them too. And so we are supposed to find Jesus throughout our whole lives. And this is the way we do it, by seeking to find Jesus in texts of scripture and in the church. Now I'm just going to read the last passage. This is Luke 7, verse 11 to 16. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother, and they were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." It's very, very important that we see here that Jesus Christ, his heart went out to her and he said, "Don't cry." And what I want to ask is, does our heart go out for people when we see them in their troubles, in their circumstances, in times when it feels like, when it's quite clear that they're helpless, they cannot do anything to feel that stability, that peace that we have with God, in these circumstances and stuff. And this happens to unbelievers, this happens to believers. It is important to understand that miracles are waiting where our heart goes out to people. And it might not be resurrection in this sense, right? It might be that God gives them comfort. And so everything that we do as the hands and feet of Jesus are opportunities for us to experience God and for us to show God into the world, to have his light shine out into the world. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us. And so they recognize that Jesus is the messenger of God. Not only is he the messenger of God, but he is the message. He is the message who is God, because that's why they say God has come to help his people. And so this is such an important thing to understand. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed just speaking about that. Now, one of the things that I want to speak about again is winter and Gothica. And I need to start getting ready because I'm going out to the coffee shop to go and read and study. But while I do that, I'm actually going to be putting on my clothes while I do that. I think it's so important, when we think about our lives. I was speaking about fashion and the way I experience it and stuff. Sometimes people have a very shallow understanding about stuff, and I think for those of you who know me from social media, those who know me a bit as a person and not just as a a guy that speaks on a random podcast. One of the things that I've been very open about is my musical tastes. I mentioned that early on in this podcast. And people will also know that I have a particular, preference in music and subcultural preference, for lack of a better word. When I was in high school, I really got into rock music. I mean, I was into bands like My Chemical Romance and Linkin Park when I was, and I mean, I liked Maroon 5, not a probably just a pop rock band, but I can remember those bands being really cool and fun to listen to. And listening to that was sort of like where everything began for me. I also like pop music, very selective about the pop music I listen to. And I thought to myself, in those times, in that time of being as a primary school student and eventually a high school student, that I really wanted to try out something new. And I can remember there was a guy in my classroom, a guy in my class, and he was into rock music and stuff, and that he kind of introduced me to a couple of bands. And I remember thinking that I wanted to get into this stuff. And I started buying this magazine called the Rock Sound Magazine and stuff. Now, when I started listening to rock and heavy metal music, and I want to speak about this more and stuff, but some people, they've always wondered why I like rock and heavy metal music. I mean, the short answer is that I like it. I mean, there's nothing more to it, but I think it's a question worth exploring. I like some heavy music. And I mean, I can mention some of the secular bands I listen to. I can mention some of the Christian bands I listen to, and there are a lot of them. I mean, I like anything from Iron Maiden to Megadeth. I also like Alice Cooper. I like Christian bands like Hord and Tester, Crimson Moonlight, and really got into that stuff. I really enjoy it, really do. But in high school, I think I scandalized some of my peers, was made fun of by some people. I can remember telling my mother, I don't think she remembers any of that, but started getting into the goth subculture. I used to listen to things like Bauhaus and the Sisters of Mercy and some punk. Eventually, I started listening to death metal too, and I mean it's an unfortunate name for the genre, but I can remember thinking that I really love this dark aesthetic. I really love this this kind of music, this style, and it is a style, and I don't think that there's anything inherently wrong about that style, but for some people that really doesn't make sense, and I get it. When you're on the outside looking in, I mean, I don't get some things. When I look in from the outside, I have friends that really like certain kinds of dance music, and I do like deep house music sometimes and some dance music, but other times, I mean, I really don't get it. Trance music, some kinds of trance music just doesn't make sense to me. My, hard style as a genre, just really, really strange music. But that's what I can say about that, is that I really have a taste in this kind of music, this style of music. I really like black clothes because I just think it looks cool. I think it looks nice. And some people struggle with that. They struggle with the idea that a guy who's in ministry could listen to that kind of music, could be into that kind of style, could be into wearing armed bracers, could be into, wearing a battle vest and things like that. And what I'd like to say about that is that in the body of Christ, there are all kinds of people. People that might not look like the way you want it to be. Now, personally for me, I would never want to listen to heavy metal in a church. I just think that in a church, we have people from different tastes, and so I would want the music to be as neutral as possible so that it can unite people and not divide people. But yeah, I listen to that kind of music. I'm into those kinds of styles. Not because I want to be controversial and stuff, but I really enjoy it. It's the way that I express who I am as a person, and I mean, just out of interest, if you go to some monasteries in the Eastern Orthodox Church, even in the Roman Catholic Church, you have what they call Great Schema monks, and these monks, they wear clothes that have these inscriptions on it with skulls and all sorts of things. And that kind of rattles people too. But when you start realizing that some people have really superficial understandings about certain symbols and stuff, and maybe one of the reasons that I continue to wear the clothes that I do, when I'm not wearing my clerical clothes, of course, one of the reasons I continue doing that is for the simple reason that it opens people to conversations. People want to know why. Why do you like wearing that band t-shirt? And you start phenomenal friendships with people when you're just honest with them and you can tell them what this means. And because I'm a cleric and because I'm a theology student, I tend to spiritualize a lot of the things that I wear, a lot of the things that I read, a lot of the clothes that I wear and stuff. And I was speaking to a friend of mine who isn't a practicing believer of any sorts. He's not a believer. That's a fact. And I was telling him it's kind of like you have this character. When you play a game or you do this thing, you have a profile as a person, and you have your own tastes, and So in this world, the art, the kind of things that you express yourself, and I mean, I just personally find it boring if I were to dress and look like everyone else. But because I have my style, I'm able to submit that to the foot of the cross. I'm able to submit myself to God, and I can have the style, and I can feel liberated in this because I think God wants me to be an honest person about who I am. God wants me to be honest about who I am, and God doesn't want me to lie about the things that I am. And I think if I were to start listening to jazz music, I have nothing against jazz, but it's probably not the thing that preoccupies my, maybe sometimes I consider myself a musical enthusiast. But some musical genres, if I were to listen to it the whole day, I'd probably go crazy because that just isn't who I am. So I listen to the kind of music that usually alternates between heavy metal, rock, house music, and hip hop. Those are the kinds of things that I listen to, and that's okay. So yeah, I actually want to do a podcast episode about this and hopefully get some of my friends who are also into heavy metal and rock music, and maybe, we can get into that more. I really want to focus on that kind of stuff more. I know that there are some cool people online, but they don't really have the same theological disposition as I do. But yeah, cool. I hope you guys have a good weekend. God bless.